This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehis Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
Cameroon's elections aren't expected until at least September, but the political scene is already heating up. Supporters of longtime President Paul Biya are urging him to seek another term, while parts of the country's notoriously fractured opposition are trying to unite behind a single candidate.
That's Moki Edwin Kinzeka reporting from Yaoundé. Details coming up also. African ambassadors at the UN have met with the U.S. ambassador to the world body about President Trump's alleged remarks about African nations. And France and Great Britain have signed a treaty that will help them coordinate the treatment of migrants. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, African ambassadors at the United Nations have met with the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. about the reported vulgar term U.S. President Donald Trump used in referring to African nations. Antonio Ndongo Mba is Equatorial Guinea's U.N. ambassador and head of the U.N.'s 54-nation African group. He said Nikki Haley regretted the fallout from the comments. Several diplomats who attended the U.N. meeting say they recommended to Haley that Trump send a message to an African leaders' summit in Addis Ababa later this month. Trump is reported to have made the remarks in a White House meeting last week about immigration. According to some in the room, the president said he wants the U.S. to have immigrants from countries like Norway, which is predominantly white. Trump and several politicians who attended the meeting deny that the president made the comments. African ambassadors based in Washington are meeting today to decide how to respond to Trump's alleged remarks. France and Great Britain have signed a treaty that will help them coordinate treatment of migrants and control illegal passage through their common border. The signing took place yesterday at a summit between French President Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Theresa May. The agreement would shorten the time processing migrants at the French port of Calais who are hoping to enter Britain. From Paris, reporter Catherine Field spoke about the reforms with VOA's William Eagle.
They came up with, in particular relating to the migrants, is this commitment that Britain will process applications from these, some say 2,000, some say 3,000 unaccompanied minors who are in Calais, who claim they have family in the United Kingdom and have a right to go and live there. What came out of this press conference was that both France and the UK will try and speed up the process for them to move to the United Kingdom. In the case of adults, they say it should be as little as 30 days for the processing of the application. For the unaccompanied minors that's under 18, that process of seeing through their application should be completed within 25 days. That's very important because that is a thorn in the side of the French. They really do not like the fact that there are so many unaccompanied minors just wandering around Calais in the middle of winter hoping to get to the United Kingdom. On another point that was, if you like, not really expected, but Emmanuel Macron, the French president, hoped for, was a commitment from the British Prime Minister that they would work alongside the French in the Sahel region. It's not very often that you hear the French talking with the British about cooperation in the Sahel region. Usually you hear about that when it affects West Africa. Here now we're talking about Britain and France working together both in within the communities there and on defense capabilities. So that was very unusual to hear that. Also to hear a commitment really to not just for migrants and working together against people traffickers, but also when we hear about wanting to help in areas such as climate change, wanting to help in areas of education, particularly for women in the Sahel region, This is very new to hear a leader like Emmanuel Macron stand next to a British Prime Minister and talk about that in public.
You mentioned earlier, Catherine, that Macron wants to introduce more efficient ways of doing things, more efficient procedures. What's an example of that? And also, what has been the snag in getting unaccompanied minors from Calais into the UK?
The issue with the paperwork is really just that, paperwork. I mean, it really does depend on who you ask as to where the problem lies. If you ask the French will say, well, we've been giving them all the paperwork, the British side isn't doing it very efficiently. The British side say, well, we're going as fast as we can. When you have a closer look on the ground, you see there's really a lot of what the British call passing the buck. You talk to the French side, particularly the Interior Ministry, and they say, look, if Britain didn't have such a big underground economy, if it wasn't so lax in seeing through its procedures for borders, then we wouldn't have this magnet of youngsters in particular coming to Calais. So Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has now got very firm. And this week, when he was in Calais, he said there will not be any new encampments. We will not let migrants set up a new sort of, if you like, a jungle or impromptu encampments around the port cities. But he also said, you know, we've got to get these procedures working far more quickly. So you don't have, for example, in the case of a Sudanese boy he spoke to, he'd spent 2 years wandering around Europe, this young Sudanese boy, and still his paperwork just hadn't been processed.
How do Macron's calls and his vision for asylum reform go down with other European nations?
Indeed, when you look at Eastern Bloc countries, for example, Hungary, Poland, they really don't want to take any migrants. They react very negatively to calls, say, from the German Chancellor Angela Merkel and from President Macron that they should take migrants. They say, no, this isn't the sort of country we are. We're not a migrant-friendly country. We have our own population. We're going to look after our own population. On another side, you have countries such as Austria and Germany who keep saying, well, we've got to secure our own borders. All these countries really do bristle when they have someone like the French president, Emmanuel Macron, coming along and saying, look, we've got to invest in these countries. We've got to look at these countries of origin of the migrants. And really, at the moment, it's only Angela Merkel of Germany and President Macron, and just today, of course, the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, who has actually started talking about looking at these countries of origin of migrants, looking at the food situation, the housing and the education, and actually working together with your EU Africa peace funding and also working with the UN to do more on the ground.
That was reporter Catherine Field. She was speaking from Paris with VOA's William Eagle. Cameroon's elections aren't expected until at least September, but the political scene is already heating up. Supporters of longtime President Paul Biya are urging him to seek another term, while parts of the country's notoriously fractured opposition are trying to unite behind a single candidate. Moki Edwin Kenzaka reports from Yaoundé.
Hundreds of youths sing in the streets of Cameroon's capital, urging President Paul Biya to be their candidate later this year. They say the 85-year-old is still solid enough to rule for 7 more years. Similar calls are being made across the country. Elvis Ngole Ngole, Biya's close aide, insists the shows of support are emerging organically.
Our national chairman and president of the republic has opened up lots of educational facilities. We began with one state university. We have today more than 8 state universities, more than 40 private universities. The youths have all kinds of professional educational facilities now.
Biya has not said if he will be a candidate or not, but it is widely suspected he will run. Meanwhile, the country is grappling with an unprecedented set of challenges. The war against Boko Haram in the north, unrest in the 2 Anglophone regions, and large numbers of refugees and IDPs due to both Boko Haram and instability in the Central African Republic. About a dozen opposition parties are negotiating to back Akerem Muna, a prominent lawyer who specializes in fighting corruption. Muna has pledged a non-partisan platform to catalyze transformation.
For too long, we have lived in a country without any clear future, where the people have no voice. For too long, we have lived in a country where the poor and underprivileged have no chance. The days of waiting are over. We must begin here, now, and today. Join our march towards the new republic.
Cameroon's main opposition party, the SDF, has not weighed in on any alliances. 2017 saw Angola's longtime president step down, as well as more tumultuous leadership changes in Gambia and Zimbabwe. Some civil society groups in Cameroon are urging Biya to pass the torch. Pierre Obama is president of a coalition of groups promoting decentralization and good governance.
Nous demandons au gouvernement de prendre toutes les mesures.
He says they are inviting the government of Cameroon to take appeasement seriously and agree to sit on a historic negotiating table with all political parties and the civil society to discuss the future of Cameroon. Biya has ruled Cameroon since 1982 and is Africa's second longest-serving president after his neighbor, Teodoro Obiangema of Equatorial Guinea. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
You are listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. Seventeen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. African ambassadors at the UN have met with the U.S. ambassador to the world body about President Trump's alleged remark about African nations. France and Great Britain have signed a treaty that will help them coordinate the treatment of migrants. And Cameroon's elections aren't expected until at least September, but the political scene is already heating up, and supporters of longtime President Paul Biya are urging him to seek another term. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. The UN Refugee Agency warns women and children fleeing English-speaking areas of Cameroon from Nigeria are facing a multitude of risks, including poverty and exploitation. Lisa Schlein reports from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
The UNHCR has registered more than 10,000 refugees since they began fleeing English-speaking parts of Cameroon for eastern Nigeria's Cross River State in early October. It reports about 80% of the refugees are women and children. The Anglophone community in Cameroon is protesting political and economic discrimination in this majority French-speaking country. Many of the demonstrations have turned violent, prompting people to seek refuge in Nigeria. As the number of people fleeing Cameroon grows, so do the risks to their welfare, says the UNHCR. Agency spokesman William Spindler says some of the children have fled to Nigeria on their own or become separated from their families along the way.
Unaccompanied and separated children are particularly affected by difficult access to food and the lack of subsistence opportunities. UNHCR staff have received numerous reports that children have to work or beg to survive or to help their families. Many children are unable to attend school as they lack both the time and funds for education.
Spindler says the UNHCR is working with Nigerian authorities to reunite separated children with their parents. Most of the families are headed by women whom he notes are vulnerable to exploitation. He says the women who cannot find work are at risk of sexual and gender-based violence. Spindler says many resort to what he calls survival sex, to support themselves and their children. He tells VOA the UNHCR is trying to facilitate contacts between the Nigerian and Cameroonian governments so they can better protect the refugees and provide for their needs. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Uganda is grappling with an acute shortage of blood supply. Medical authorities have warned that blood needed for transfusions is critically low and are calling for prompt action. The shortage, which is almost at crisis level, has placed many patients' lives at stake. VOA's Catherine Nambi files this report from Kampala.
National referral hospitals across Uganda are stuck with patients who badly need blood transfusions. These include pregnant mothers, accident victims, patients who need surgery, and those with sickle cell anemia, among others. The blood shortage has taken a huge toll on the acute children's wards, casualties, and operating rooms in different hospitals. Stephen Obo is the director of Mbale Regional Referral Hospital in eastern Uganda. He confirms that his hospital is one of those affected by the ongoing shortage.
We have run short of blood in the institution, and we are working together with the blood bank to ensure that we receive the supply. They have promised to send us more blood.
Yes, there are promises of supplying the needed blood, but the National Blood Bank in Kampala has run out of stocks. A visit to the bank shows many coolers with blood requests from different hospitals are lying empty. Although 1,000 units are needed by hospitals daily, the National Blood Bank currently has only 150 units in its cold room. Dr. Dorothy Cheyune is the Executive Director, Uganda Blood Transfusion Services, or UTBS. She says the blood collection drive has been greatly affected by the winding up of the funding by the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, in 2016.
Our activities are transport related. Every day teams go out in the communities, in the field, to collect blood. They need fuel, they need sound vehicles, we need allowances for staff, which money was being supported by the PEPFAR project, which ended. So we are struggling. We can't mobilize, we can't go out to collect. We had planned to do more blood collection sessions, we are doing less. So when you go out less, you collect less.
On a daily basis, 20 mobile teams are sent out to collect blood with a minimum target of 50 units each. UTBS needs about $4.5 million for the blood collection drives annually, but only $2.6 million has been allocated in this financial year's budget. The Health Ministry has asked the government for extra money to fund blood transfusion initiatives. Sarah Pendi is Uganda's Minister of State for Health.
We've already got in touch with the Minister of Finance, and we hope that something is going to be done very soon, maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
The UTBS is appealing to Ugandans to wholly embrace blood donations. Michael Mkundane is the spokesperson, UTBS.
We don't coerce people. This is a voluntary activity. We must have the humanitarian heart, the availability of safe, adequate blood. For our patients with severe anemia in hospitals depends on the generosity of all those that donate the blood. Should there not be generosity in terms of feeling for humanity to share the blood, those with, who are feeling well and with excess and can share with our patients, then we shall have a shortage.
Uganda does not import blood and only depends on blood donors within the country. However, some people fear to donate blood, saying it is infected with diseases like HIV and hepatitis, even without proof that it really is. Annually, Uganda needs over 340,000 units of blood, but last year, only 240,000 units were collected, leaving a shortage of about 100,000 units. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Senior Zimbabwe opposition leader Roy Bennett was killed late Wednesday with his wife and three others in a helicopter crash in New Mexico. Police say the aircraft went down in a remote mountainous area in the northern part of the state close to the border with Colorado. Another passenger who was injured in the crash managed to get away and call for help. It is not clear what Bennett was doing in New Mexico. The 60-year-old Bennett was treasurer general of the opposition movement for democratic change and a fierce opponent of longtime President Robert Mugabe, who was forced to resign late last year. A party statement called Bennett a resolute and committed fighter for democratic change in Zimbabwe. Bennett, who was white, was admired by many black Zimbabweans. They called him Pachedu, which means one of us in the Shona language. He was known for helping hundreds of thousands of poor villagers pay for their children to go to school. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Kurt Bynum, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's weekly newsmaker interview program. Listeners around the globe get insights from authors, analysts, and policymakers on a wide range of topics, from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. On Saturdays, tune in at 4:30 and 17:30 UTC, and on Sundays at 3:30 and 14:30 UTC. Or subscribe to the PCUSA podcast. Just go to our homepage at voanews.com and click on podcasts. Also, we love to hear from you. Send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA on VOA Africa.